Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Corner Store. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. I'm excited to introduce our guest and talk with our guest. I want to encourage you to give us a follow on the internets. It's at cornerstore_pod on IG and Twitter. Also, we have a Patreon account. Make sure you drop in some dollars so we could pay people to work at the corner store, because we value people's labor and we want to make sure that they are taken care of and the snacks are covered and all these things. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod. Today, we have a force of nature, someone who I don't know how she does it all. It seems just from a distance that you are a overly productive person who refuses to sleep. So hopefully, I want you to get some sleep so you could persevere. So I'm curious about the elixirs and the magic formula it takes to do all of what you do. We have Tanya Lozano, who's in the building, the founder of Healthyhood, a dancer, community organizer, someone who cares deeply about the integrity of communities and is working very hard to preserve culture and community in the city of Chicago and beyond. Tanya, welcome to the Corner Store.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. I'm really excited to chat. Before we begin, Max, the snack door, has secured you some snacks out the corner store. I think he was definitely trying to keep in mind that you perhaps, I imagine, are maybe a health conscious person. So Max has gotten you a Tazo Giant Peach Green Tea and Peach Flavored Juice Blend.
Nice.
Hope you like that. And Max, what did you say about these this snack here? You said it was, Max also got you some beer nuts, but they're cashews, the unique sweet and salty taste. But what did you say about it? Oh, it's the healthiest option, not the corner store. Oh, healthy corner store. Yeah.
I was wondering whether the snack was going to be an ode to the healthy or the hood. You know what I mean? Like, right. It could have been Flamin' Hot.
True. Well, I think that's what that's what you said. The beer nuts are an ode to both, right?
Gotcha.
It's the healthy hood. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
But welcome and thank you so much for joining us today. Let's hop in. What is Healthy Hood?
Healthy Hood was founded about 3 years ago, but it's really kind of a baby of a larger organization called the Youth Health Service Corps that I founded with my sister about 7 years ago. The Youth Health Service Corps really is the organization that's tackling this 20-year life expectancy gap that exists in Chicago between communities of color and affluent communities. And so we call it 5 plus 1 equals 20. There's 5 diseases that cause that life expectancy gap. I'm sure you could guess them. Plus 1 lifestyle change equals 20 years of life. So we're in about 21 different CPS and alternative schools in the city of Chicago. We have about 1,500 student members of our organization that learn about these diseases and the disparities, and they also get certified to screen for those diseases. So 7th through 12th graders can take your blood pressure, your blood sugar, and then they're supposed to find 10 people in their family or in their community, and they're supposed to do those pre-screenings. The plus one is a lifestyle change, right? So after a few years of being in the Youth Health Service Corps and trying to give that responsibility to students in like developing these lifestyle like plans for their family members, we realized that not even doctors do that. Like, they don't learn preventative measures. They learn how to treat people when they're already sick. And we were expecting these students to do that, but we realized very, very rapidly that we needed to come up with a game plan. Like, where are we going to provide these lifestyle coaches and fitness classes and stuff that are affordable to the community? Because we found down the line that, you know, these preventative measures really are a privilege in this country. Healthcare in general is a privilege in this country.
And certainly we do not think in terms of preventative care in Western medicine really at all.
Exactly.
What is that lifestyle shift?
It has a lot to do with obviously like staying in shape and changing your, you know, nutrition and things like that. But I think what we've come to the realization down the line is that there's a lot of trauma in our communities that need to be dealt with. So we're really trying to tackle the issue of mental health, because it's hard to even think about your physical health. And then even sometimes like people prioritize their physical health and they're real like, you know, fit, but they still like super mentally ill, you know. And I think working in the fitness world for so long, I realized that some of the best personal trainers are dealing with a lot of like mental illnesses. So now we're really starting to tackle these like areas of trauma, because obviously if you live in an underserved community, you deal with a ton of trauma.
And you guys have a space.
Yes.
In Pilsen.
Right. And we have another one opening up in Hermosa.
Dope.
And then we have a satellite community garden in the North Lawndale area.
That's amazing. Where can people, as we're talking, where can people be in tune with what you're doing? And also, where is the space in Pilsen?
Yeah, so the studio in Pilsen that's open right now is on Damon in 22nd Place. So that's like right off of Cermak. And then you could always find out about us on Instagram, Healthy Hood Shy, or our website, healthyhoodshy.com.
Okay, and if people want to stay in tune with all of what you're doing, are you going to?
I guess.
You don't have to. But
plug my personal account.
Yeah, if you want.
@_TanyaLozano. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of like, definitely a lot of work stuff on there, but there's a lot of other stuff too. Yeah.
And in the space in Pilsen, it seems like you guys are doing a lot of different kinds of classes that is open to a lot of different kinds of people.
Right.
What are some of the things that you have going on in the space this fall?
This fall. Wow. So we have anywhere from 17 to 21 classes that we offer a week there. So there's definitely those. There's everything from like trap yoga to meditation to cardio kickboxing to heels class, all these other things, right? But what we really try to do is to develop programming that are specific to certain demographics. And so this summer we did a ton of stuff, but coming up just in a couple weeks, we have the Jefa's Brunch, which is going to be our second one, where we bring women of color that are either entrepreneurs or kind of like corporate bosses. Jefa is just a Spanish word for a Spanish woman boss. So we bring them all together to share resources and just like network and stuff, but really to figure out a plan to start to contribute back to the communities that they come from. And so that's coming up. And then we're launching a new campaign called Get Your Mind Right. So Get Your Mind Right is we're bringing together a bunch of volunteer therapists, psychiatrists, people who do Reiki, I mean, any kind of like contributors to mental health, right? To volunteer to donate at least one session a week. So if we could get 100 of these volunteers to donate a session a week, we'd have 100 sessions to give out to the community for $5. Wow. Because everything we offer at Healthy Hood is $5. I don't know if I said that, but that's
no,
a good plug.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang, every class.
Every single class, every
only
event.
$5.
$5. Yep. That's $5. It's been that way for 3 years and it's
wow.
never increased and we don't plan to. So
amazing.
Yeah. So Get Your Mind Right, yeah. So I'm really excited about it. I'm teaming up with Paulina Rowe from Kiss FM. And so we're getting together all of these therapists. We're really trying to break the stigma because in Black and Latino communities in specific, man, people just don't, number one, acknowledge that they have mental health issues. Number two, they don't really know what they are. And they definitely don't have access to those resources. So that's what we're trying to do with this. And I think it's going to be a lot easier than we think to fill those spots.
Oh, I think a lot of people.
Because if people want to go to therapy, like,
absolutely.
I want to go to therapy.
Yes.
But I can't afford it, you
right.
know? So this is going to be a really special program or campaign, and I hope that it expands and we can offer it in different locations as well. But for right now, it'll be in the Pilsen and Hermosa locations.
Bet. All right. So let's take a breath.
Yeah.
Because you do a lot. How did you come into this kind of community-centered, focused work?
Yeah, so a little bit about myself, I guess, right?
Yeah.
My parents are both activists. My father was in the Black Panther Party. He was also a senior advisor on the Harold Washington campaign, first African-American mayor of Chicago. My uncle is Rudy Lozano. If you know anything about Chicago, you know,
yeah, you
there's libraries
know.
And schools and all that named after my uncle. And he was big in immigrant worker rights, also super close to Mayor Harold Washington.
And a big organizer bringing Black and brown communities together, too, which
yep.
is probably the reason why he was assassinated.
That's exactly why he
yeah.
was assassinated. Yeah, he
yeah.
was assassinated in 83.
Right.
My mom is Emma Lozano. If you know anything about Emma Lozano, she really picked up that torch that
yeah.
after my
uncle I didn't know
passed.
That that's your mom. I know I've been around your mom a bunch, and she's an incredible, incredible organizer. And caretaker and community steward and speaker and,
yeah,
you know,
big spark plug.
Yeah, no shit. For real. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so she's 65. Yeah. She's still running and gunning.
That's
you
right.
know, like she's still doing, she's out here literally lobbying to get an immigration reform bill introduced in the Congress. So that's my mom, that's my uncle, my dad was in the party, and so I kind of just grew up around activists. I went to Pedro Albizu Campos High School, founded by Jose Lopez, Oscar Lopez. He was a Puerto Rican political prisoner.
Yeah.
He just recently got released.
Yeah.
He's also my godfather from my quinceañera. And so I've just been around activism for a long time, but I was also an athlete. I played basketball my whole life.
Ah.
Played in college a couple years.
Where'd you
North
play?
Central College,
okay.
Naperville.
All right. Are you nice?
Not no more.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I can't. I'm not in practice.
Yeah.
It's so funny, you know, because basketball was like my life at one point. I have the Jumpman tattooed on my arm, actually. But yeah, like I don't even think about it anymore. It's weird.
Yeah.
But I think it was really like that was what it was. Like I was in basketball, so I was always active. And when I went from I went to a lot of high schools, but I ended up graduating from Albizu Campos. I got kicked out for organizing walkouts and things like that from other schools,
and those schools were like, hell no.
Yeah, primarily the Jesuit school I went to was like, nah,
definitely,
you know,
yeah.
Y'all supposed to be liberals, but no, nah, they were not having it. So yeah, so when I went, I played basketball at Juarez, which is the community school in Pilsen.
In Pilsen, yeah.
And so when I went to college, North Central College of all colleges is a 92% white school, right?
And so it was a bit of a culture shock.
Huge culture shock.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad was in the Black Panther Party, but he's a white man. And so...
what's your pop's name?
Slim Coleman.
Yo, that's your dad?
Wait, so when I told him I was coming here, he was like, oh... Wait, let me make sure I'm thinking of the right guy. So we Wikipedia'd you together.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, no, no. I know this guy.
Yeah. Oh,
I know this
yeah.
guy.
No, no, no,
yeah.
No, no, no. Yeah.
Yeah. Slim Coleman's a legend in Chicago.
Indeed.
Yo.
Indeed.
Yeah. Like I tell
both
people.
Both your folks. I can't.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of this. This is amazing.
Yeah. So.
It's Chicago royalty, your stock. And so those are also giant footsteps to fill.
Yeah. I'm trying.
No, you're doing it. I mean, you're doing it. It makes sense now that you've, you know, now that I know some of the pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
You're absolutely doing it.
Yeah.
But also now it's like, oh, okay, yeah, this comes from
there's
a
some
long
fire
line.
Under my booty.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Well,
yeah.
Please tell everybody I say hello. And
I will.
Yeah, I
definitely will.
Both your folks very much, very
yeah,
deeply.
Appreciate
yeah.
that. Yeah. They're amazing people.
Yes.
And they're really like involved in everything that I do. They're super, super supportive. But I chose health, you know, like I could have chose immigration, which is what they both work in. My dad, we're celebrating actually 60 years of him being in the struggle. Next Sunday. So he was in the civil rights movement. He was in electing Harold Meade. Like he was really devoted his life to the Black community for a long time. But for the last 20 years, he's been in the immigration movement with my mom.
Central Sin Fronteras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man. Good stuff.
Yeah.
When I went to college, I realized just even in like sports, the just inequity. Like I went from playing CPS basketball where I didn't even know taping your ankles was a thing. Like I didn't know getting iced was a thing. Buddy stretching. There was never an athletic trainer at our games nor our practices. We didn't have nothing like practice uniforms and so forth. And then I went to North Central and they had this whole beautiful program there where there was somebody taping you up before every practice, icing you after every practice, making sure you were right, you know, making sure you're not injured, checking for concussions and so forth. So I was just like, man, this health stuff is like, it's super like discreet, but it's a real major inequity in this country in general, but specifically in Chicago, because we're so segregated, you can really see it. You know what I mean? So so then I was like, yeah, look, what do I do to contribute? And so I went back at that. My dad had already become a pastor at in Pilsen. So we had a church in Pilsen, which is where Healthyhood is right now. But this was like 10 years ago. So when I was in college, I just started teaching Zumba for $1. That's how I started.
In the church?
In the church.
Okay.
And so...
Zumba.
So okay. That's when Zumba was first getting started.
Right. It was a thing.
It's still a thing,
okay,
which
listen,
is really
no
like
disrespect.
Surprising to
yeah,
me. But I mean, it's still a thing. But at that time, there was no Zumba classes in my neighborhood. And so I was the first. I have pictures. Like I had like 60 ladies who came to my Zumba class 3 times a week. and they paid a dollar, and I was making a little bit of money while I was in college, and I was, you know, contributing something to my community where there was nothing like that going on. And so I was like, there's something to this. And so the concept of Healthy Hood started to come about, which was that we could provide income to community members if they were able to provide some of these services, but also provide services, obviously, to the people who didn't have access to them. And so that's how our model works. Like, there's an 80-20 rule in our studio, which is like the instructors keep 80% of their profits and they donate 20 to the organization, to the sustainability of our organization. And what happens is the majority of our instructors are people of color. And if you actually do the statistics in fitness, the majority of fitness professionals are people of color. But they who they're providing services to are not people of color, right? Because it's a privilege. You have to be able to afford it.
It's expensive to get a trainer, to get...
Yo, SoulCycle's like, to go to a drop-in there, it's like over $30, $40 or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Right.
So some of these instructors are working... They obviously work with us, but they work in these other gyms too to have a life, you know, to... So they work at Equinox, they work at Export, they work at SoulCycle, they work at these different places. The most they get paid in those places, $35, $45 an hour.
Right.
So get this, at Healthy Hood, even though we only charge $5, they make way more at Healthy
Hood
than they do at those studios, which I'm so proud to say because I was in that world and I know how hard it is because you're not teaching to your people, you're not making a lot of money and you're running all over the place teaching these classes, you know, and it's really draining. So Healthy Hood really, like, the concept really made sense. And because we were working out of a church, we didn't have a whole lot of overhead, so it made sense for us. So that's kind of like why I got into activism in like the health realm.
And how did you get into, from basketball, how did you get into to dance?
Yeah, you know, I still have a hard time calling myself a dancer.
I definitely dance.
Dance now. My counterparts, right, like at the studio are like, you got to stop saying that. You're definitely a dancer.
Right.
Like, and I appreciate that.
Choreographer.
I choreographed Christine's, King Marie's complex.
Yeah, which was fire. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I danced. I was always like dancing, but I never like took it seriously. I never took any classes or anything like that. But like at the high school dances, there was always like a circle around me and I would always be like getting down, and like at Juarez, like everybody would be hyping me up and stuff. So, and I would just learn from like watching 106 in Park, like watching MTV music videos and stuff like that.
And being a Chicago kid, was it hip hop, house, a mix of everything? Like where were you? How were you coming up in terms of what you were hearing?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I went definitely growing up hip hop and house. That was what it was, because you live in the hood. But because I was growing up in Pilsen, it was a lot of like bachata, reggaeton, like cumbia, salsa. Like, I learned a lot of those Latin rhythms too, and those dances. And when I started to teach Zumba, it was real easy to go into that, because that's what it is. It's majority Latin rhythm. So it was that. That's kind of like a part of me too. But now I would say it's mostly hip hop. Like, that's what I teach now.
Yeah. And what do you like to dance to? Like, what specifically? What, you know, songs?
I don't see when I say hip hop, that's hard, because I really just like music with a message, positive message. I don't really like trap music. If you ever get into a conversation with me, it'll turn into an argument when it comes to trap music, because I don't support it.
Why?
Yeah, I think it's not positive. It's degrading and it's backwards. Yeah. We're trying to progress as humanity, and I think a lot of those words and terms that are used specifically towards women are extremely derogatory, and I think women in specific need to stop supporting that.
Yeah.
And that's just my strong opinion.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely rap that, when I say rap, there's definitely hip-hop that is positive, and I think where it comes from is positive. But I went to Albizu Campos and I heard good stuff.
Right.
I heard good poetry. I heard good music, and I know that it's possible. And I know, you know, there's controlling factors that decide what gets put out and so forth. So I think taking that into consideration as a conscious person, but we got to stop supporting the bad stuff, in my opinion.
And that, I think what happens too is that because certain stuff gets put on, it also influences other artists to bend towards the norm. and fit into a mold that has been predetermined by people who are not of the culture.
Absolutely.
But this is what sells, and this is what we could commodify.
Right.
And so it alters, you know, unnaturally what then the content is.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you vibe with, support, like, listen to while you're dancing, teaching, these kinds of things? What artists, like, you know, can you put us on to?
Yeah, well, for my classes, I try to stay local. So, like, I'll do a lot of King Marie. I'll do Lay Dominic, who's from Boneyard. I try to do just, like, a ton of local artists, as long as their music is cool. You know,
right.
Like, it's not bad stuff, you know, calling women the B word and so forth.
Right.
But
I'm glad at Young Chicago Authors, we also... in our open mic and at our events, we have what we call a safe space or a brave space rule, where men don't have access to that word, because I don't think that men should have access to that word.
Agreed.
I understand and believe in the power of repossessing and you know, flipping a word on its head. And if women feel they want to do that with such language, all power to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that dudes have access to that language in the same way I don't think white folks have access
to the N-word.
Yeah,
that's exactly how I explain it to people.
And yeah, and so in our space, like, we also then have, like, a ton of young rappers, many of whom are women, many of whom are men, and the fellas sometimes early on are like, what, I can't. But you know, but then it's like, no fam, we're also teaching language, and you have a billion more things you could say, and I don't think you mean what you're actually saying here. I just think, you know, you've been taught this trope by the culture, and we can do better.
Yeah.
And inevitably, I then get to hear a lot of young people do a lot better, which is also very exciting once you kind of put such stipulations on what you want to consume.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I try to stay super local. I mean, every once in a while I'll play something more popular, but in, like, my personal preference in music is, like, old music. It's Motown. It's a lot of Prince. My mom and my dad, you know, grew up in the 60s. So that's kind of what was given to me. And then my older brother and my older sister grew up in the 80s. So then I got, like, really in tune with, like, DeBarge and, like, Prince and stuff like that. So that's really, like, my taste. But I don't teach that. Obviously, there's not a whole lot of people my age that that do
like
that.
Like, music.
There used to be a Motown night at Beauty Bar, like, every other month or something. I don't know if they still do it, but that was, like, the only time I would go out at night was to just hear my music. But, yeah, that's, like, my personal preference. But I try to stay local everywhere. I love King Marie's album.
It's beautiful.
Anything with, like, a positive message, you know, like, I really mess with it.
Yeah. So you put on very heavy for Chicago. And you're a person who, because of the work you do, I would imagine you are optimistic about the city. But given the history of struggle, and you have it in your family, and of course you're you're versed in the history of the city and the history of the country, how do you remain that way doing all the work you do despite this, you know, horrific historical record?
Yeah. I think that the record is still pretty horrific currently.
Yeah.
So, and obviously the history has contributed to that, and laid the foundation for it to continue the way that it is, including the police department and everything else that goes to politics and everything that goes into that. But I think my whole life's mission has been in creating alternatives. So I think a lot of times, like, I don't call myself a community organizer anymore. I call myself a community architect, because I want to build new things. I want to build alternatives to the alternative societies, essentially, to the society that oppresses my people. And when I say my people, that's anyone that lives in these underserved communities, how I grew up. And so I think that's the only way to get through it, is to see something different for it, you know? And so, like, I work a lot with Jose Lopez, and he's really been, like, a major mentor for me in my life, and all of the amazing things that he's built in Humble Park, and how they still got their stuff up there, even through all this gentrification.
Yeah.
That flag to flag will remain Puerto Rican. You know
right,
what I mean? Like,
right.
It's inspiring, but it's also, like, you know, it's a plan, or it's, like, a example of an alternative. We talk about it all the time, like, gang members are not bad people. They were looking for an alternative, right? So what they were living in was hurting them. So they were looking for a way out, looking for something different. And so that's my plan is instead of trying to infiltrate the system and change it little by little and this and that don't make sense to me. I'd rather create an alternative, something that works for us, that was created for us, because the current system was not.
Right. Right. Yes. I mean, street organizations was just that. It was a way to organize young people who didn't have a space necessarily to go and sometimes needed a separate familial structure in order to, you know, gain brotherhood and sisterhood inside of the neighborhoods that they were a part of.
Right.
And then those street organizations were co-opted, often part by, you know, and, you know, with forces in the government to turn them into something else, too.
And they did.
Yeah.
They succeeded.
Yeah.
But they're not lost cause, you know, not in my eyes.
Right.
You know, those are still my people and I don't see them any differently because they joined those alternative, you know, societies. It's just they don't have any other option.
So you're creating these spaces around the city. You mentioned how old is Healthy Hood now?
Three.
So
still a baby.
Right. Yeah. So what does the future look like? For you and for Healthy Hood?
It's called Healthy Hood Chicago, but I don't plan on staying in Chicago. I plan on trying to... I think Healthy Hood's at a place where it's a model now. It can be duplicated anywhere. There's underserved communities all over the country. And there's some cities that need it just as badly, if not more, than Chicago, Detroit being one of them. And I think as of right now, as soon as we can figure out how to actually sustain it monetarily, because right now we just literally work on volunteer work. Like, I am a volunteer technically. I don't get paid. We've never received a grant at Healthy Hood. Everything we've done has been self-sustained. But I do see it expanding, and I think that the more that I tell people about this, the more people are going to want to support it, because it's not as controversial as other issues. This is a health issue. This is, you know, a humanity issue. There's a 20-year life expectancy gap that's in your face. That's a solid fact here in Chicago, and it's all over the country. And so I think that it's going to grow. I think it's going to continue to happen as long as I feel like a lot of times, like nonprofit organizations, when they get bigger and they expand, they lose the integrity of what it was supposed to be. So that's my goal, is to keep the integrity, which is a social justice and a community approach to healthcare, to wellness. And we have three things that we think are necessary for that to happen. That's to exercise the body, educate the mind, and awaken the conscious. You can't be a healthy person without those three things. And so just the programming has to be a reflection of that. But it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. It's going to be everywhere. Yeah.
I see that.
It's going to be everywhere.
Yeah. How can people support?
You can go on our website. You can donate on there to our GoFundMe, which is just a general GoFundMe for right now repairs, because our, you know, we're in these old buildings, these old church buildings that need repairs. And then we also have a GoFundMe. We have a team of three of us who are going down to the border, and we've been in approved to go and teach dance and painting classes to the kids that are at those camps, concentration camps. And so we're going to try to do that. So that would be a great thing to donate to. And then come to some classes. Our community is open to everyone. It's interesting, like when you come to our space, you think that it's going to be all people from the hood, but it's not. And I think that's why it's been able to stay. That's why it's self-sustainable, because we get people from everywhere who come take advantage of these resources, but because they're doing that, they think they're doing it for themselves. They're really contributing to this community, to this alternative, and demonstrating like a different something that community may have never seen before. All of our classes are like super, super dope. So come check one of those out. You should come check one of those out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I've taken a dance class before in my lifetime.
You don't have to take dance, though. There's like everything.
Meditation. All right. Oh, true. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Lifted yoga.
Okay. What is that? Lifted yoga.
Yeah. You drink like a cannabis infused tea, and then you go into like a meditation, and then you go into a yoga practice, super light yoga practice. But okay. That's another thing too. On Tuesdays, we have a clinic where a doctor helps people through the process of getting their medical cannabis cards. And we have a campaign called Free the Hood, which is us trying to get the people who are in jail for marijuana charges out, because it's about to be legalized. It's already legalized in a lot of places, but unfortunately a lot of brothers and sisters are still locked up in our community, specifically underserved neighborhoods. And so we're a part of that. We've worked with Chicago Normal. They were just at our Young and Woke Social this past Saturday. And then there's a lot of those things that people can attend. We get the Young and Woke Social, happens twice a year. If you're a woman of color entrepreneur, we got the Jefa's Brunch. We got Café Comadres, which is a monthly meeting for mothers to discuss things that are going on in CPS schools and how we can contribute as mothers to changing those things. We have the Creatives Coalition, which is, we get together every quarter, a bunch of us creatives, like I'm sure you know a ton of us, Christine, Pharaoh, Haley. We all get together and we discuss things that affect us as creative. I call myself a creative in social justice. So we found out in one of those dinners that none of us had health insurance.
Wow, right.
Because we're entrepreneurs.
Right.
So there's a lot of those things that you could get in tune with.
And where's the best place where people could be in tune? Again, if you could give out socials and the website.
Yeah. So the website is healthyhoodshylikechicago.com, and then healthyhoodshy on Instagram. Instagram is the best place to get a class schedule because it comes out every Sunday for the week, for that week.
Bet.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I'm really excited I've never been, I got to come see the space.
Yeah. It's filled with art.
Yeah, no, I know. I've seen on IG. I know, Kane has done some work in there.
Each wall is a different artist of Chicago.
That's fresh. Yeah.
And the outside just got done by a Centroc Lily Pouring Birdcap.
Oh, word. That's what
the whole outside, yeah.
Oh, dope. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited for you. And thank you so much for being in the corner store today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official corner store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the snack door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the corner store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
The corner store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.